It's having to also be clear with ourselves and be cognizant and recognize, like, oh, I have an addiction problem to suffering, to I have an addiction problem to wanting to think that I can help everybody. Oh, I have an addiction problem to this. It's an egotistical sense that I'm the only one who can help everybody, right? And that's the shadow part of the healing work, right? It's the shadow part. And it's so important to engage that and check ourselves and be like, hey, you know what up? You don't, no. There are many people in the world. There are tons of people who can do this work, some better than the others, but who are you? Why do you think you're that? And you have to balance that with not going into imposter syndrome, right? So it's like there's this little space there where it's like thinking, keeping your diet well and not overeating. And it's a discipline. It's a discipline.
Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Why, hello there. Welcome back to the Feed Your Wild podcast. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, your intuitive nourishment guide for this episode and every episode. And this interview that we have today is part of a mini series that I've been doing called Riding the Chariot. It's real and raw stories from intuitive healers and graduates of my 9-month mentorship and practitioner mastermind, the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. Some of these folks I have also worked with in a one-on-one capacity, and that is true for today's guest, Celeste Guzman Mendoza, who she and I had a one-on-one private mentorship going on prior to her joining the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. So you'll hear about that and sort of just her journey around getting into mentorship and her entire process. So in this episode, we welcome the incredibly talented Celeste Guzman Mendoza, a beacon of creativity and strategic thinking who merges her skills as a poet, playwright, Akashic record reader, and strategist to elevate organizations and individuals alike. Her journey of intertwining intuitive gifts with self-healing and her professional life is not just inspiring, but a testament to the boundless potential that lies within us all. Together, we reflect on the past 3 years, where our shared path of spiritual growth and mentorship has led to not just personal transformation, but has also profoundly influenced our work with others. Celeste shares about the evolution of her work and how she came into the offerings and the work that she has today, which you will hear about. But Celeste also opens up about her past experiences of violence, physical health challenges, and deep spiritual healing, punctuated by moments of vulnerability, forgiveness, ingenuity, and soul-level self-discovery. We unravel the importance of boundary setting. She calls herself a boundary queen now, which was not the case before, but also inner discipline and self-discovery through the eyes of the seeker archetype, revealing how curiosity, compassion, and commitment play crucial roles in our growth and connectivity. Join us for a profound exchange on the intricate dance between embracing our past, navigating our present, and shaping our future with intention and grace. What I love about the fact that this podcast is coming out this week, on February 16th, we have the waxing quarter moon in Taurus and Venus entering Aquarius. Now, Celeste is a Taurian in all ways. And you know, I love my Taurus folks. And Venus rules Taurus. So here it's such an alignment where Venus, this planet of love and beauty, but also resources, comes into Aquarius, the healer of the collective and the seer of the future, right? And sort of like collaboration for collective healing. And this is what Celeste is really all about. She's truly an Aquarian healer and also supporting Aquarian businesses and organizations. Venus in Aquarius, to me, feels like community connections. We also have Venus conjunct Pluto from the 16th to the 22nd. And this is intense transformation in not just relationships, but also resources. So again, this aligns so perfectly with Celeste's work. And I hope that you get a chance to check it out and really tune into the wonder that is intuitive healing, how we can apply it to literally everything and anything. And I encourage you to think outside of the box. How can you be an intuitive healer in the work you're already doing? You can be in finance, you could be in construction, you can be in the service industry, you can simply be a student. There are no limitations for tapping into your intuition, your intuitive healing capacities within that container that you are already in. And I would argue that it's needed. This is what we truly need in this world, is this diverse way of bringing in spirit and soul work and intuitive healing to foster transformative change. Now, just before we dive into our interview, I wanted to share that my new private one-on-one Akashic Mentorship for Healers is now open. I'm taking a handful of clients this round for Awaken the Oracle Within. This is a 3, 6, or 12 month private Akashic Mentorship for tapping into your next level intuitive gifts as an oracle with crystal clarity in your highest purpose as healer and light worker. You will be working with the Akasha and divine support to spread your wings and create your soul's body of healing work. And you have me in your back pocket while doing so. You've been deep in the chrysalis, healing those wounds, honing your craft, and now it's time to fly. If you're ready to step into your oracular gifts and highest path as a new earth intuitive healer in 2024 and beyond, then explore and apply over at wildlyrooted.com/oracle. And of course, all links are in the show notes. If you're interested, but you're not quite ready to dive all in, or you just want some deep soul level insight and support, you can dip your toes by scheduling a private Akashic Soul Record session with me. I opened up my books for February and March, and you can find that over at wildlyrooted.com/Akashic Records. Okay, without further ado, let's dive into this juicy conversation with Celeste. We are back with our beautiful guest. I'm so, so thrilled and excited. And I'm getting a little nervous too now. We're talking about just kind of like the nerves that come through just before you're about to hop on this, but what it means to have this level of conversation and exposure, right? Like, especially connecting in with people. I find I get most nervous connecting with people that I have come to know more deeply and that I really care about. There's just a lot more at stake, right, with that. And I feel like Celeste, you definitely fall under that umbrella. So I am here to introduce you to the brilliant Celeste Guzman Mendoza. She is a poet, playwright, performer, nonprofit strategist, fundraiser, and Akashic record reader for organizations and individuals seeking to take their organization and or career to the next level. She provides practical frameworks and tools for organizations and individuals as they navigate important change moments in their life and with their organizations. She can assist with goal setting and creating a method to track your progress to goals for you and your organization. And I just have to say, we're going to talk about, you know, our history and all of that. Like, I'll let you share the stories. But I just also have to say that Yes, it was mentioned that you're a poet and playwright and performer, but Celeste has such an incredible ability with words and just with the creativity, that the fire that comes through you that is applied to your strategy work. Like, you have both hemispheres of your brain lit up. And so it's really a unique gift that I think that you can bring into areas that I think it is. Talk about Aquarian, moving into Aquarian businesses, right? And leadership. This is what we need. We need to use both hemispheres of our brain. We need to call in spirit into our work here on the material plane. And I'm very excited for you to do your good works and anybody who comes across your path like today. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, Vanessa. It is such a pleasure to be here speaking with you, and very surreal too, because this journey for me in terms of coming into this space of being more in tune with that clairvoyant, intuitive part of myself. That's always been a part of who I was, but just like, you know, I was saying in our pre-conversation, coming out of the closet, so to speak, in this practice. And my journey started with listening to your podcast. And so it is just, it's a joy. It's nervous. I'm anxious. I feel anxious. I'm just so, so, so blessed and privileged to be sharing space with you. And it's interesting, there was about a good year before I came to your podcast where I felt that this journey was coming upon me, right? Like this now, okay, now you're going to be entering the work, you know, with a big W, as you said. And I remember thinking, I need to find a mentor or a teacher. I just need like somebody to kind of pull me by my hair and kind of guide me, you know, forward. And then I came across your podcast during the pandemic, and I went into your website, and you had a wonderful offering there on your website that was, I think it was a one pager or a two pager, basically a worksheet, which I love worksheets, you know, and it was asking questions about like, okay, if you're dealing with a health challenge or you're wanting to get unstuck, right, from some health issue, here are some things to think about. And part one of it was really about doing an assessment of the narrative that you have about your body. And one part of it was, when did you remember you having issues with certain ailments? And then the other side of it was, what was happening in your life during that time? And that was like this huge aha moment for me, where I realized, oh, some of these issues started off at a crucial time in my life where I experienced trauma, and how all of that was aligned. And I had never seen it like that before. And I thought, oh, I found my mentor. I found my technician. Here she is. So such a pleasure to be here.
Oh my goodness, Celeste. You know, I love it. So when we talk about moving into, you know, healing work or just like whatever, because healing work can look in so many different ways, right? You're doing healing work, very much needed healing work, that when you start doing the work, you find who your quote people are, you know, like, you know, in marketing terms, they might say ideal client or avatar. But the way that I really tune into is like the folks you have those soul contracts with. And when you can connect with them, it's magic. And when you came into my field and fold, I was like, here's another one. I'm so excited to dive in with her. Here we go. Let's see what happens. And I feel like there's been so much magic. We came together, if I'm remembering correctly, the beginning of 2021, if not before that.
Yes, you are correct. You're correct. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's around the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's been almost 3 years.
I know. It's incredible. ¿Cómo pasa el tiempo? Really fast it goes by.
So fast. And well, especially these past 3-4 years have been really crazy. Talk about timeline jumping and shifting. So
yes,
we first came together in one-on-one mentorship. So for those of you who are not familiar with my work, or if this is like the first episode, you've welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah, so
I have a 9-month mentorship, which is a group program that we're going to talk about, the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, which Celeste, you have journeyed through yourself, and you're a graduate alumni of. But we started off in one-on-one mentorship, which is an Akashic Records mentorship. So let's start in the beginning and with your journey with the Akashic Records. Wherever you feel called to start, because I think there's a lot of potential starting points, what are you feeling called to talk about at that point?
The first thing was the podcast, right? I mean, I heard the podcast that you gave where you were talking about the records. I think it's Akashic Records 101. I want to say it's episode 43, but I could be wrong on that.
I'll put it in the show notes.
You'll put it in the show notes, yeah. I listened to that and I felt called to learn more, you know? And so I reached out to you for a one-on-one session. And in that one-on-one session, what called me to kind of reach out for more was there was just this chargedness. Like, you know, when I was listening, I said, oh, I feel this is something that I would be very interested in, because prior to listening to the podcast, I was intuitive and just had many times would hear a voice that I knew was connected to me. I knew it wasn't me, but I knew it was connected to me. And it was sometimes a guide. Sometimes it was there to make me laugh. I mean, it had different functions and I had thought it was all one. And so I was just intrigued by how you described in that episode, you know, the relationship with the records of the masters and the teachers and the loved ones and the guides, you know. And so in that first session with you, there was, you know, I was focusing at the time on really healing the uterine fibroids that I had, right? And the inflammation that I was experiencing as a result of that. I had already gone through kind of like a menopause, so to speak, you know, so I wasn't, you know, and my husband and I had already kind of really gone through the process of accepting and grieving and moving on from the fact that we weren't going to be able to have children, you know, as a result of that and other things. And so I was on the other side of that journey. And in that plática, that's how I like to think of it, as a wonderful plática, you know, conversation with you and really entering into my records, there was that voice was there, that presence. I recognized the presence. And for me, it was a moment of like, oh, that's what this was, you know, and there's a way where I can enter into this on my own. And I'm a real studious person. I'm very disciplined and I do practices very well. And so I said, oh, this will be wonderful. It's an incredible way for me to learn more about myself and how to help myself in various areas. And then there was also things that you were saying where I was like, well, this woman doesn't know me from nowhere, but she's saying these things and they're right connected, right? So I knew, I was like, yes, Vanessa's a wonderful channeler and practitioner of this, but also this is real, right? It's woo-woo, but it's not like made up. It's real, you know? So from there, after those, I think we did 2 or 3 sessions one-on-one, and then I signed up for the mentorship with you to learn how to do more about this and did that coursework. I had also done the Heal the Wild Gut, you know, I had also done that program and my digestion had improved incredibly. I forgot to mention that was actually prior to doing the one-on-one with you. I actually did the Heal Your Wild Gut. Yeah. So I did the heal. It was seeing the podcast, doing the worksheet, then the Heal Your Wild Gut. And then I actually listened to that episode of the podcast of Akashic 101. You're going to laugh. So what I would do is when I clean the house, it's like the upstairs takes me about an hour and a half to almost 2 hours to do. And so I would put your podcast on while I was cleaning. And then it was like, you know, I would be matando dos pájaros con un tiro is what they say, right? Kill 2 birds with 1 stone. And I would be listening. And then that's when I heard the Akashic record when I remember because I was cleaning underneath the bed. So anyway, that's when I started doing the mentorship and then with you, the one-on-one and really becoming much more in tune with my own records and finding an incredible amount of guidance from my masters, teachers, and loved ones and the guides on ways to heal what I felt was ancestral wounds, right? Things very far back. And I knew that for the longest time before I came to the records, but I wasn't like, well, how do I do that? You know, how do you? And so being able to be in tune with them and through a discipline of working with them through, you know, with your guidance, really began the journey that I'm still continuing on, but a different phase of it now. Yeah.
So in there's so much there. And for those of you who are like, you know, what programs are you talking about? Like you might be interested. The official title of that program you're talking about is Feed Your Wild Gut. I no longer offer it as a one-off. It's actually inside of the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner pathway. It's part of that mentorship. And also if you work with me one-on-one too, you get access to that. In the future, there's gonna be more accessible ways to access all of this, but just so you know, like if you're looking around for it. So there was so much that you were already like planting and seeding and like that was sort of sprouting when you came into work with the Akashic Records. I feel like when you started working with them, it was almost like, because you were already really sensitive and intuitive and open. My journey with records, when I first started, I mean, I was intuitive, but it actually took me a while to feel like I was really getting some sense. For some people, it just takes longer. And I think for you, you were just primed. It was ready. It was time. And so much began to open up for you. And I saw how there is so much support for you and guidance that was coming through and so much wisdom that you were tapped into already. But there were some major themes that were coming up. And so I'd love for you, if you feel called, to share anything about those.
Absolutely. So one of the primary themes, and I was writing a book of poetry about one of these themes. And so it was no surprise, right, that the theme came up, and it was a theme of violence. And this book that I've been working on and finishing, and it's so near done, like I'm now working on what I hope will be the last revisions of it, is an exploration of my relationship with my father, my birth father, you know, father throughout my life. And the verbal and physical abuse that I experienced in that relationship and the forgiveness that was part of that relationship and us being able to evolve that relationship and really have a communion, which was so unexpected early on. So while I'm working on this book and while we're going through this process is when I'm kind of working with the records as well. And the book I've been working on for about 7 years now, but the records, it's been almost three of those 7 years. And the first kind of encounter, that the healing encounter, I would say like a previous iteration of myself, right? A part of my soul was this little girl. I don't know if I was looking back at many of my notes, and it was this little girl that was equally full of suffering and rage. Like I could see her, you know, crying and wanting to scream at the same time. And I had asked for some guidance on how do I engage with, she had been coming to me in my meditations, and I would ask for some guidance there in one of our sessions. And what came back was like a real practical way of just speaking with her and sitting with her every day in my morning meditation. And that I would know. And I had done childcare in the past, right? So I was like, okay, I trust that. I trust that I will know. And so I went on that journey for a full moon cycle, right? That was one of our first, it was a full moon cycle. And it was around like the fourth or fifth day of the meditation where she finally spoke to me, finally, like was not crying or screaming. And we started to engage. I won't go into detail about that because it's kind of hard for me to remember all of that detail, but I simply recall that every day we would become more engaged. And then finally, I think it was around maybe day seven or day eight where we started laughing and we were playing. And I felt like around that moment, I was like, oh, this is me. This is me. This is the little girl that was so full of suffering and rage, right? Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful opportunity to engage with that part of myself. I just felt like that ripping that had been happening and that pain because of the ripping, there was things being sealed and healed. And I was like, okay, now I'm able to move on. And then like the latter part of that lunar cycle, we just spent time laughing, talking, playing, listening, engaging, not really talking about things, but just kind of like, you know, or whatever, I don't know, like baby talk, you know, but it was really beautiful. And then we came to the end of that lunar cycle, and towards the, like the last day, she turned around and just, she came to me and hugged me and then gave me a kiss and then said goodbye. And in that moment, I realized I was like, oh, she's okay. She's going to go on now. And I saw her as she was walking away from me in this space of the meditation where we would be, her growing into a young woman. And I was like, oh, I did it. You know, and I felt like an incredible amount of accomplishment. Yes, yes. she's okay. She's going to be great. And I literally felt a part of my body kinesthetically release. And I was like, oh, this is number one. And I knew there were others. And so around that time, I had already started doing my own practice, right? Because I would go into the records to do this work with her. That's what I would do. And it was every day. And it wasn't like 30 minutes or 40 minutes. It would be like maybe 7 or 10 minutes, because that's what I could do in the morning before going to work. And so then I started asking, okay, what is the next? I feel like there's another. And so there was subsequently a woman who that I felt was a previous iteration of myself, probably back in the 1600s, that was a gitana, you know, was like a gypsy. And I know that I have roots in that regard. I could talk, that's a whole other podcast about that, you know, but there's roots there. And she had lost her sister. Her sister was killed. And she was very expressive with dance and with word, and would heal, would use dance and word to heal people. She was like a shaman.
I remember her. I remember when she came in, and I was, she's like very powerful energy that I remember her today.
Yes. And so that, so then communing with her and what her pain was, and I would do this on 21 day cycles, más o menos, you know, like the new moon to full to new moon to new moon, new moon to new moon. And then there was a man who was a leader. I felt it was back during Egyptian times, like in that part of the world, and really far back in that time frame, where he was a leader. He was like a king, I guess, and he was a violent man. He was very violent. He didn't want to be violent, but he felt he had to be as the leader of his tribe. But he really was like somebody who loathed violence, but he had to be. And so there was healing that, like not living your truth. And he was a warrior. I mean, that's what he was. He was, that's what he did. That's not who he was, but that's what he did. And that was a really different experience of healing, that committing of violence. And I knew I had that in my body somewhere. I knew it, you know, and so that being able to work through that was magical. And in my non-meditative life, like non-meditating, but outside, you know, outside of that container, there was rage. Like I would be sometimes sitting and my husband would be talking to me and, you know, we'd be having a disagreement. And I literally would walk away from him and would just yell in another room, and he would kind of freak out. And I'm like, I know what's happening. It's that this person's rage is coming out in this way. And so it's not at you. It's just, it has nothing to do with you, but I just need to express it. And it was connected with me not really expressing my anger, because I was all of these things that I've just shared, right? Like there was all tied and tethered to me repressing because of all the pain and the suffering. And so going through the process of healing these previous iterations was also releasing what I had been containing. And I couldn't have done that work as Celeste, because Celeste was like, no, you're a Latina. You're my daughter. Don't be a bad daughter. No, you know, don't be the bad wife. No, don't be an asshole out in society, whatever, all of these cositas, right, that we tell ourselves, that society tells us. So that was also, it was very liberating. It was very weird and scary, but it was also very liberating. And then there was a scribe, and the scribe was a very interesting, because he had lost his wife, because all he was doing was work. All he was doing was work. All he was doing was work. And I could relate, because that's how I kind of had lived my life up until then. The warrior was the last one that I worked with. But at each close of that lunar cycle, they would go off. The woman who was the shaman would go off, and she smiled and laughed at me and did a little bow before she kind of went off. The warrior showed me a ritual that he was doing to forgive himself for all of the murders and the pain, right, that he had inflicted on others, and working on forgiving himself. And the scribe, that one was one of my favorites, because, well, I mean, they're all my favorite, but that one was just, I remember he was leaving the books. So he actually was going on a journey, which is what he always wanted to do, because his job was to write about these journeys, and he always wanted to go on one. And so he had like a staff and a little like machila, a little like a backpack, makeshift backpack, and was waving to me as he was just walking off in the distance. And so for me, that's what the records were, that process of healing these different iterations, ancestries, and there's been more, but I'll focus on those, because that for me was how I realized there's this a framework, right? So a framework is coming out of this. And part of the framework is a time frame of a lunar cycle, using a lunar cycle. So that's a framework. Sitting every day with this person, this energy, this grief, this whatever, you know, we want to put. And asking the records for guidance, our guides for guidance on how do I engage with this and how does this relationship evolve? And that framework is really where I'm like, oh, that's what I can help other people with, is providing like a practical, here's a very practical tool. There's a time frame, here's a discipline, here's your tool, which is the records, your guides, your this, and I can help shepherd through that. And then here are some examples of questions you can ask to engage to heal some of those ancestral wounds. That was what was exciting, is being able to come through the experience and then be able to share, oh, this is something that others can use in a way that can be helpful.
Woo, there is so much to listen. So, well, first, for those listening, because I'm just hearing a ton of questions from people tuning in and ahas. Yes, you can work with the Akashic Records in this way. There are an unlimited number of ways to work with the Akashic Records. And I find that each person has their unique way of working with them. And it's part of the discovery process. When you start to tune in, you get to feel into it. Not everybody is going to be a channeler or a reader or a scribe of the record. There are many different ways to work with them. And it could just be completely personal. It's not something that you have to bring out into work. Now, having said all that, what you're touching in on here too, Celeste, is like, it's really deep, profound parts work, but like beyond parts work. I also just have to say that I think you were really ready for that work. Because oftentimes I think we want to push past certain things. Like, we might not have maybe the support system, the spaciousness, the capacity in terms of like our resilience for our nervous system. You know, like there was a lot of pre-work that you've done in your life before we even met. So just naming that, because I don't want people to feel like, man, like I haven't been able to do that level.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was, I just want to speak to like, you've done so much work around that.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, yeah. I had been like in my yoga practice, I had been in a meditation practice, I had been already there. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there were things, and I would say like my maternal grandmother was, she would help people with ailments. I don't want to say like curandera, because to me, curandera or curandero is somebody who's studied and is a doc, you know, like they've done a lot of work in that space. And she was kind of ad hoc, right? It wasn't like, I don't want to demean what she did either, you know, but it wasn't like
more like folk healer, so like for family.
Yeah. So I grew up with that, and I would be sometimes listening and helping. And so I grew up with that since I was very young. And so there was a vocabulary, a lexicon, and a familiarity with that energy space and like the collision of energy and space in that, you know, for me, like since I was little. So I came in, like you said, very much like, okay, I'm exposed. I've done some work in this space. I had done some energetic work on my own experimentally, right? So there was, yeah, like a foundation there. And I was surprised that so early on, I was like, oh my good, this is some deep shit, you know? Like, all right, well, here we go.
You know, here we go.
And I did tell my husband, I was like, okay, Mira, it's going to be a little crazy, but you know me, we'd already been together for like over 15 years. I was like, you know me, you know how it rolls. So he's an artist. He's like, it's all right. There was that support space there. And you were there. That's the other thing. You know, I mean, so when the WIP program opened, I just felt, wow, this is going to be an excellent opportunity to be able to dive in a way I hadn't dove in before. Before I was kind of like, all right, well, this is my little cosita, but I don't really know if I could do this for others. I had helped other people like with their muscles, like kind of do body work for people, because that's just, I would notice that we say in Spanish, a don, like your talent. And I've always had a really good, and I think that's from the legacy of my grandmother, just being able to like put my hands on people and know, okay, here's where we need to rub, or okay, here's where I need to press so that this muscle will release and stuff like that. So I had been doing some of that work, but not in a formal way, very informal. And so doing the WIP program for me was like, okay, this is now me taking myself more seriously and really choosing to, I'm going to find a way to maybe start a business. And it was an incredible experience. I feel like it was just what I needed being in that community of people and the framework for the program itself, it was really very good. When I saw it, I was like, "Hi, Vanessa, you go, girl. This is great."
You know, which is hilarious because, you know, I love a good like structure and I like to pre-plan. But honestly, I have shared this before on the podcast and with you guys, I was very transparent that this was being channeled and I didn't know like what the next module was going to be like. Like it was literally co-created as we were moving through and you were one of the first in the cohort. So you were part of that and it was co-created with you. What you brought forth, what you needed, what you were sharing. And so I feel so blessed to, it was kind of a scary process, like full on trust and faith. You have to really commit to that. And I think that's a lesson for all of us is like the work, the like gold that you can co-create is it's in faith. And oftentimes that means you don't know what's ahead of you. It's meant that you don't actually know what's ahead of you so that you can step into it with faith. That's like the magic ingredient. So I can't take all the credit for the like, you know, the curriculum and the structure. But anyway, thank you. And I'm curious as we sort of dip into the WIP experience and story, what stands out for you in terms of what you have discovered, or you mentioned some ahas or favorite parts of the program?
One big aha I had that was for me important was prior to the program, I had really segmented myself, right? Like here's Celeste, the performer who, you know, is on stage because I was an actor for many years. Here's the actor who's on stage. Here's Celeste, the poet, you know, who writes her poetry. I have a book and a lot of poems that are published. And so here's her. And then here's Celeste, who works at the nonprofit and the higher education institution and does her fundraising and her nonprofit management. Here's Celeste, the one who does some body work sometimes and, you know, is able to help people by listening to that voice to help them navigate their crazy shit or their great shit, crazy shit or great shit, whatever. And I had like that Celeste was in different parts of the house and she very rarely talked to the others. You know, I mean, it was sort of like they were each there doing their own business. And with the program, it was this realization and it was in the first section where we're seating, right? And we're sort of like, who are you? Different ways of exploring yourself. And so I'm a manifestor generator, which is like, oh my God, that when I read that description, did that little quiz and I'm like, oh my God, that is what I am. That's crazy. I didn't know that. And then of course I'm like Taurus sun, Taurus moon. And I was like, really? I'm not that stubborn. Well, okay. I'm controlling and possessive. All right. I don't know, you know, but just very earthy, right? I was like, yes, I know I'm very earthy, you know? And then the next step, I think one of the next steps we did in that section, not linearly, but sporadically in that section, was also just about sit with your records and ask them about, you know, what are your dones, your talents, your gifts. And as I looked at all of that on the paper when I did that, because those particular exercises I was channeling through writing, because, you know, the channeling can happen in various ways. And I looked at it on the paper and I was like, are these things actually, they're all together. All of these Celestes are actually together because they're Celeste. It's her. It's me. So they actually are one, just like my leg is a leg and my arm is an arm, but it's part of the body. And it was a huge aha. So then I was like, oh, I don't need to wait until I'm retired to do this business of working with people. I can do that right now because that's who I am. I don't need to wait to finish this project to do this other project. I can do them simultaneously in a smart and time management strategic way. You know, that is by far the biggest aha, to not segment, bifurcate, multiplicate myself. And it was a very deep recognition that I am not the sum of my parts or my production. I am Celeste. And that was like a revolutionary thing to be like, if I'm not the sum of my parts, then that means a mí no me mandan. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to tell me what to do because I am the empress of myself, my own self-agency. And then not being a means of production, like that's also important. I am not a machine. The industrial age has tried to make us all means and modes of production. And that is one of the major reasons why we are so sick and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because los cuerpos no son máquinas. Our bodies cannot operate like machines, but we are being asked to do that all the time. It was a revolutionary, multi-layered. The group is wonderful. the other participants, what makes them wonderful. They share in the circle, the platform that we use to communicate with one another. We do those Tuesday calls. I did many of them at the onset, wasn't able to do as many in the last couple of months because of my commitments at work. But what I love during, I remember during one of those sessions connected to what you said earlier in our call today, is like that realization that every single one of the 7 or 8 people that were there, and when we would focus on somebody and say, okay, we're going to all read your records right now and give you what we're receiving in response to your question, that person. And all of us, what we're saying, it all has different, I'm giving things that, again, kind of like very practical, tactical, you know, here's a little plan that you can follow over certain days. And somebody else is talking about an image that they're seeing. And then somebody else is talking about sounds or things that they're smelling. And all of that together is resonating with that person. And it's giving them an idea of what it is, or a feeling or a sense or something of what their next step is, or comfort even. And that was that realization of what you said earlier, of like, wow, we each engaged with them very differently. And what a blessing to have all of these different like ways available to you. So that was also the magic of the spaces. It is a support group, but it is really receiving the genuine souls of all of these people at once. And you leave those sessions where you're like, oh, wow, you know, I had one question and I had 7 or 8 answers to the question, and they're all right. And they all fit together into this puzzle. And now I can see the image that the puzzle is trying to make. So yeah, those would be the two. There's many others, but if I was to highlight two, those would be it.
It's so powerful to do this in group, as you're speaking into. There's a lot of different reasons for that, as you explain, like kind of like the different petals of the same flower, as my mentor would say, Susan Lipschitz. Mm-hmm. So not only is each person bringing forth what is coming through in their unique channel and filter and vessel with their unique gifts, but also different aspects of the answer that's available. So they're tapping into almost like different regions of the map of the Akashic records for that person as it pertains to that inquiry. But at the same time, as we're all plugging in, I call it this network calibration effect, where we're all up-leveling our intuitive capacity because we're meeting each other. And so in that way, it's almost like an attunement, like we're like tuning up, and that continues. It just doesn't end there. It really assists one in your own connection process and abilities. So there's so much to speak into that. I'm glad that you brought that up. And also I have to speak to absolutely the programming that we have around production and being machines. And as a manifesting generator, I'm also a manifesting generator. I know some others, like, it could be easy to fall into that trap because we have that motor. We want to get shit done. We want to do things and we want to do many things. And so it's easy to get in that trap. And even for those who are not manifesting generators or generators, but we think because we kind of can at some degree that we should, and that's not the truth. And so finding your truth and finding like, what does it actually look like to be in service, but not under this programming of being a machine and being overly productive, and really valuing your fire, your energy, your time and space? And I think that that's something that you really demonstrate so beautifully. I want to now bring this into the work that you're culminating and you're shaping and you're creating currently. You said you're bringing all of these pieces together and not segmenting yourself. So what does that look like now? And anything you'd like to share about that process and your offerings?
So it's exciting and it's evolving, and it's going to continue to evolve as I continue to engage it and work it. How it is right now is I've been able to help an organization or two so far, like, okay, let's go into the records of this organization. And the organization, it's about the people, that the volunteers or the staff, but it's also about the collective that's being serviced by that organism, that's the organization and the work. And being able to then go into those records, I do an assessment like you would do with anything, but an assessment that's informed by what I'm receiving from the records, and then analysis work. And then being able to say, like with one organization, here's a timeline for how you need to create a structure for this organization, a fundraising plan for the organization. And here's a job description for the person that's going to lead you through it, because it won't be me, you know? You know, everybody's like, won't you be our executive director? No, I'm not doing that. But oh, here's, you know, here's a good job description. Here's a to-do list for the next 2 years. And then here's your fundraising plan that's going to undergird all this. Ya y punto, go forth. You know, like, so that's the way of where I've been able to combine like these parts of that were previous parts of myself, which would have been like, oh, I'm going to help somebody by reading their records. And then I'm going to do some consulting on the side for nonprofit fundraising management. And so now really fusing those together. And sometimes working with an executive, if they're not, doesn't have to be an executive, but somebody that's managing a project or a program or their life, and being able to say, okay, what are you doing now? What do you hope to be doing? Let's try to get into the records and find like, what are your obstructions? Like, what are your roadblocks right now? And finding some tools and resources, as well as designing a path to get you through it and a time frame. So some people would call that goal setting, but it's a little bit different than goal setting because, you know, it's more than just, okay, my roadblock right now is I don't have money for this project, right? Okay, so that's the goal setting. You need to go get money. But really the work with the Akashic Records is like, is there something more virial, ephemeral that's holding you back? Because you were saying earlier, when you're ready and energetically open, ready, and you've said yes, then all of a sudden things start to come, right? And then you're editing. You're like, oh, you know, I got to edit. What am I going to choose? And so that process of opening up. And what happens a lot of times is that when we find ourselves in a space where something is moving, we're attracting that energy. We've said yes to something. And sometimes we don't even know what we've actually said yes to. We think we've said yes to X, but we've really said yes to X, Y, and Z. And so then Z starts coming and we're like, I don't want you, Z. I'm looking for X. But really, we were channeling Z because really what we need is X, Y, Z. And so just helping people clarify that, that's something that I've been able to do as well. But it just depends, right? It just kind of depends on what I'm going to be developing probably towards the end of January is a wonderful website. And then be able to kind of have a way for people to answer some questions. And then I can let them know, yeah, I can work with you on this. Or here's another practitioner, whether it's somebody who does something that's more in that Akashic record space, not anything dealing with nonprofit management or fundraising management. Here's somebody else. A lot of people were asking for things that are around functional nutrition. So I've connected them with some people in the WIT program who do that work and have let them know about you as well and the work that you're doing. But sometimes if it is in that nonprofit fundraising space and people have come to me in the past and I'm like, that's not something that I'm going to be able to help you with, but here's somebody else that can. So I'll be developing that. And then for those where I'm like, oh, I can help with this, then creating that opportunity to do so.
I am so excited about this. This feels very magical. What I also love about what, like the way that you're talking about it is, and this is something that you kind of have seeded throughout, is getting really clear and setting up boundaries around your container, like what is a yes and what is a no, which I think is so, so critical when we're creating a body of work, you know, when we're like putting ourselves out there to work with people, like we're not meant to work with everybody. That doesn't serve anybody when we're just like,
that's right.
And so getting really clear on not only what are your gifts, what can you support people with, but what do you actually enjoy doing too? Mm-hmm. Like, what could you continue to do? And that absolutely, there's going to be these other people. I have a resource network to send people to, and we're meant to work that way, right? We're not meant to hold everything all together. But how, when we establish those boundaries in that way, how that has a ripple effect throughout our lives. And I know that that has been a theme for you in terms of boundary work and also just.
Oh,
with, like,
yes.
Something you want to say about that?
I mean, it's so funny you say that because that was the number one thing that we were, our first session, I was like, I've got to work on boundaries. Because what do you need to work on? I'm like, boundaries. I have no boundaries. I just say yes to everything. I do everything. I can't say no to my husband. I can't say no to my brother. I can't say no to my parents. I can say no to myself all the time. And so anyway, but yes, and I feel like now I'm like, oh, I am boundary queen.
Yes.
You know? And when I accepted this new role at my place of employment, and you know, I'm in a space right now where I'm leading quite a few teams and where I'm able to just use that as where I say that quite often, like there is a container and our container is 40 hours a week. and our container is this amount of staff. So that means we're going to get done X amount of work, and we are not going to add anything else that's going to overfill this container. So if we want to add something, we've got to take something out. And just being able to, people appreciate that, because that was not really the case for a while, right? It was just add. And, you know, if we see the container starting to fall, well, you know, it just, the container will deal with it, right? And it's like, well, no, you know, that's inhumane, right? And it's a form of violence. It's a form of self-violence. It is, again, the production and the industrial age, right? That's telling us to go in the assembly line and just keep on working for 13 hours, right? You know, so that I'm so happy we did that work, because it's reverberated 3 years later in this role where it's like, oh no, everything has finite. So sorry, I interrupted. I like got all excited about the
boundary. That was not an interruption. I wanted you to bring that in because it's really important. It's really important to also for people to recognize that what happens in your inner world is expressed in the external world. And that absolutely pertains to boundary work. I see that especially those with a healer's heart, you know, and that sort of like proclivity, we want to extend ourselves. We want to be in service, especially women. And we've been programmed to do so too. So when you start to set up those boundaries, it is working against the grain of what society has put into place, has seeded for us, and what has been demonstrated for us for generations, yeah, for many people, right?
Yes. And how we're designed too, because some of us are designed to like satiate and really enjoy being the martyr, the helper, right? We're like, oh, this is like the best chocolate. I feel so good because I'm making myself feel so bad. You know what I mean? Like, and so we get addicted to the adrenaline rush and crash of being overburdened. And there's something chemically in our body that gets accustomed to that. And there's all this not great food out there that we're using that supports that even further. And then the commercials of this McDonald's late at night, and you know, I mean, it's just, it's a cycle, right? So it's having to also be clear with ourselves and be cognizant and recognize like, oh, I have an addiction problem to suffering, I have an addiction problem to wanting to think that I can help everybody. Oh, I have an addiction problem to this. It's an egotistical sense that I'm the only one who can help everybody. And that's the shadow part of the healing work, right? It's the shadow part. And it's so important to engage that and check ourselves and be like, hey, you know what up? You don't, no. There are many people in the world. There are tons of people who can do this work. You know, some better than the others, but who are you? Why do you think you're that? And you have to balance that with not going into imposter syndrome, right? So it's like, there's this little space there where it's like thinking, keeping your diet well and not overeating. And, you know, it's a discipline. And there's days where I'm going to reach for the chocolate that's the self-suffering. And there's days where I'm going to like, just do a liquid diet because I feel like I'm too fat. Imposter syndrome, right? So it's like this scale, and then kind of keeping yourself in this space of, no, you know, there are extremes. And then there's this area where it's getting the noise out and really just centering on ourselves and who we are. But the boundary work's important on both ends of that. You know, it's kind of like those bookends. I try to remind myself that quite often at work to say, no, I have an incredible amount of experience. I mean, I've been doing nonprofit management, fundraising and everything for nearly 30 years. I mean, I'm 48 and I've been a performer since I was 6 or 7 years old. So it's been a long time, but it doesn't mean that I know everything. You know, I am always learning. Even though somebody may have less experience, even though somebody may be younger than me, there is still something to learn because their lens is different. And that what program was great. But, you know, we have to remind ourselves that all the time. And that people have agency. You know, even I think the clients, right, that we're working with, they have agency, they know themselves. And it's happened to me in a reading where they're like, you know what, that doesn't really resonate with me. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's sit with this and let's ask either another question or let me ask for some more clarity on that. And then I'd ask for clarity and I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I didn't check myself. That was Celeste coming in. That wasn't your guide, you know? So it's part of the process. It's part of the process and important to recognize that it's what you said earlier, so humbly, but also so accurately said earlier, you know, Vanessa, about the program of WIP, like you're developing it in conjunto, like in group with all of us. And we are in all of our treatment of people, like we're developing that in conjunto with them. It doesn't happen simply from us. It's all tied together with the guides, with us, the channeler, with the client, you know, with, and so nobody has more authority than the other. Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent, but.
Well, I'm so glad you went there. I couldn't have said it better than myself. It's absolutely critical that we understand that, know that, and it's a perfect segue to this tarot card that I pulled. So for each of these interviews, I pulled a tarot card, and I was so curious to see what wanted to come through with our conversation with Celeste. And what you were speaking into really is like the humble place of the beginner's mind, the curiosity, the openness, but also like being willing to venture into it and to do the work. And what we got was, it's not a traditional tarot card. It's in my deck, is the one that I used for this particular spread, was the Pagan Otherworld tarot deck. And we got the Seeker.
Ooh, I love the Seeker.
Seeker. And so this is like what you were describing is the essence of and the archetype of the Seeker, which, by the way, each module inside of WIP has an archetype, has a tarot archetype. And the Seeker is the archetype of the very first module, that is MAP, where we're mapping out everything. And this is the space that we need to be in order to be open enough to go to those places, right? So in the pagan Celtic tradition, there are these thin places, the liminal spaces, places of mesmerizing beauty and information, right? Where we can get outside of our particular perception and move into another world. And in order to do that, we have to be really open to that. We have to be curious. We have to be humble, like you said, like not show up with your gifts and who you are, but not saying, I already know the answer, because you automatically shut everything off when you come to it with that sort of consciousness. So the Seeker card metaphorically really illustrates this experience of revelation, of encountering the divine, of that mystical quest for knowledge, right? That we are all on, that we are all on. And this is a spirit card. This is a spirit card, and it really weaves in the mysticism behind tarot to begin with, like the essence of tarot. Like, what is tarot? Tarot is a divination tool, but it's also like a form of communication and a doorway. And it holds all these different expressions and archetypes. So the Seeker, again, just really connecting in with that curiosity around willingness to step into the journey of discovery of our purpose and meaning. And so this can be used as, this card can be used as a talisman for people, you know, when you're feeling like it's really hard to maybe be in that space, call in the Seeker, call in that guide and that support to help you remember yourself into that level of consciousness where you're open and willing, you're still yourself, but when you can come into that frequency, it unlocks doors, this portal into that liminal space in a way that you can't access when you already know all the things, right? When you already know all the answers, or when you're not willing to look. So I think this also, you embody the Seeker so beautifully. It doesn't matter what level of mastery, because I feel like you're a master in many different areas, but you're still a Seeker also in those arenas. So yeah, I just wanted to touch in and see how the Seeker is landing for you.
I was so excited to think, I wonder which tarot card she's going to pull for this. Which one's going to come through? And I love that Seeker because, yes, it's so invigorating to learn and discover. And it's also like who you're going to meet and how much fun are you going to have, you know, and the memories that you're going to create. And also, you just never know. There have been moments, I'll tell a story and you sidebar, you may want to edit it out. You can decide to edit it out or not, but, you know, I'm a survivor of sexual abuse, right? Which happened to me when I was 6. And that's when I go back to your worksheet, when I was putting, when all these symptoms started of different ailments, when I had the other side that was like things that happened to me in my life, I was like, oh my God, a root of this is when that happened. And nobody believed me. Anyway, it's a whole story, right? And I was like, holy crap. This was a lot more. This is the ailments and that pain coming together, right? Like that crossroads. So I've worked a lot on that over my lifetime, right? When I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I was talking to a group of women. I was editing a women's magazine in South Texas, and I would get invited to talk to luncheons, to talk to women about the magazine and about women's leadership. And I told the story. I decided I'm going to tell people about being a survivor. And I was called to do that. And I don't usually talk about it in a public space like that, but something was telling me to go ahead and talk about it. And I said, yes. I was like, all right, I'll talk about it. And I told the story and I said, you know, how nobody believed me. But for me, it was also realizing I didn't realize what had happened to me until I was 12 years old. And how did I realize? Not because anybody told me, but because, again, we go back to the metaphor of cleaning the house. I was cleaning the house as a 12-year-old. My mother would make me clean the house. So I'm cleaning the house and I had HBO on. My parents happened to be away at what was the precursor to Home Depot. They were getting some stuff at this thing. And I'm there in the house by myself. And I don't know where my brother was. And there's a like a docu series, I guess, on surviving sexual molestation. And I'm listening to it as I'm cleaning. I'm listening to the description of what it was. And I'm like, holy shit, that's what happened to me. So I sat down and I watched the rest of the program. And that's when I realized what had happened. And it was like, wow. So I told this story. And then what I've been doing since then, I was in my late 20s, what I'd been doing since I realized that up until my late 20s and how I was healing from that. And of course, you know, at these luncheons, you're talking and you're the speaker and they always serve you when you have to get up to speak. So my food was there. I'm looking at the food and I'm telling the story. And of course, thinking I really want to eat at the same time. And anyway, after I sit down, I'm finally able to eat my cold chicken. And this older woman, she was probably like 84, 85 years old, really well-dressed. And she sat next to me after everybody left and they were thanking me. And I was still needing to eat. And she goes, go ahead and eat your meal. But I'd like to talk to you. And I was like, okay. And so I'm listening to her as I'm eating my meal. And she said, I was you. And she starts telling me her story. I won't tell the story because it was very private. And when she comes to the conclusion of her story, she said, today was the first day and you are the first person I've ever said this to. And thank you for the permission to say it. And I've never told anybody before. And she was crying, not like messy crying. Like she was really well-dressed. I mean, I was like, God, even her crying looks good. You know, like, you know what I mean? I was like, damn, this woman, she's like crying, like on TV, you know, it's good. She looks beautiful. You know,
a telenovela cry.
Oh yeah, it was a good cry. I was like, there's no mascara coming down on this cry, you know? But she was 80 and she said like she was 84, 85. I mean, and I just sat with that and I held her hands and I thanked her. And she said, I have to thank you. She's like, I've never been able to tell this to anybody and it's out of me. It's out. And it did happen. And oh, I goodness. Just, and it was like, that's why I needed to tell that story.
Yeah.
That's where I needed to say that because this woman was there and there was something energetically for her that was needing to be released. And maybe she didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But the minute I started saying that and that she saw that I was okay, right? Like I was able to say that and whatever myths that we have about the impact that these types of things have on our lives. And they do, really. But you know what I mean? Sometimes people are like, oh, don't talk about it because then it will really hurt you more. You know, I left that. I went home that night and I told my husband, I was like, I am going to step in and be the seeker. I'm going to say yes. And I'm going, you know, not to everything because there's boundaries, but you know what I mean? To the discovery of things. I'm going to never think that I'm the only one that has suffered because here she was 84. She had like 7 or 8 grandchildren, 3 children. She had been married, you know, her husband had passed away. She'd been married to the same man and she had never told anybody this. It's so important, the trust and the faith that you talked about earlier and believe it in our own divinity and that we are beings. And that's what's so awesome. And this interconnectivity. And she said, oh, that was the best talk I've ever heard. And I said, well, it was the best talk because you were here. Like you were part of that. I didn't know to say it until I felt you were there in the room. And I didn't even feel you. Wasn't conscious I was feeling you, but I was feeling you. Little tangent there, Vanessa.
No, so important. Okay. The power, first of all, of storytelling and you as a storyteller, the gift of stories. I highly recommend folks tune into your work. If you can also share, I don't know if you're going to have it on your website in the future.
Yes.
Ways that people can connect with your writings, but also plugging into that field. When we show up, when we say yes to ourselves, to invitations that maybe our mind is saying, well, that doesn't make sense, or you can't do that. Who are you to say, I don't want to share, you know, like all these voices and things that are going to come up, because they will for everybody. I don't care who the F you are. There's going to be some voice. You just have to drop into the heart and follow and say, you know what? I'm going to dare to do this. And stretch myself, like you said, step into seeker, because there is something there. Your soul knew. Your soul knew. There was something in it for you, obviously. In the
Yes.
But absolutely plugging into the field of potentiality of the healing that was available to others and receiving that story. So thank you, Celeste. I'm excited for people to tap into more of your stories. And well, on that note, please share, where can people find you and your work? And you mentioned that hopefully this will be out by the end of January and that be in sync with when you have everything up and running. But yeah, where can people find you?
So my website is Celeste Guzman Mendoza, and you can put it in the show notes, you know, for people to find me, and .com. And there I've got a little bio. I have some of my poems that are up. I've got a link to most like the book, but also like a list of publications that are there. And I love to do readings and pláticas with people. So I can also be doing that. I've done that with groups. I've talked about the surviving that sexual abuse, and I'm also a survivor of physical abuse. So I talk, this theme of violence and healing is throughout most of what I write, but also through this experience of working with the records as well. And so I can definitely speak to, but also engage and listen to people who've had those similar experiences. On that website is where I'll have, towards the end of January, a link to the other, which is called Channel Your Past. That's the name of my business. It will have on there the offerings and opportunities of ways that we can partner and work together and stir up some shit and create some magic, you know?
Woo, with this Taurus queen, y'all. Master on the material realm. So I love Tauruses so, so dearly, like, because I think you have so much of that polarity that I need, like, to ground and to get that shit done in the earthly realm. Thank God you exist. So anyway, Celeste, I also have to ask, of course, as we near the end of this episode, what is currently feeding your wild and on the horizon for you, if you want to share? So body, mind, or spirit, what's feeding your wild?
So the work that I'm doing right now in this subsequent kind of like a, what do we call them in poetry? It's like a four-part healing work on myself. And it's one that you and I kind of worked on together. And it's a four lunar cycles of working with my body. And there is a serpent energy, hummingbird energy, jaguar energy, and eagle energy. We worked on these. And so I just finished the serpent first lunar cycle, where I was, much like I was talking about earlier, where I engaged with the young girl and the shaman woman and so forth, engaging with serpent medicine for a lunar cycle. That was incredible. And so right now I'm engaging with the hummingbird medicine. And that is feeding my wild like nobody's business. There's like what I'm cognitive of that I'm experiencing and enlivened about. And then there's, I can feel like all of the tectonic shifts happening, you know, behind the scenes. And I don't need to know that. I mean, you know, I don't need to cognate that, but I can feel it happening. And I'm, the mystery of that is just so comforting. And it is, it's a very wild thing for me, because it's kind of working with them as totems, these animal totems. And so that's also exciting. And when I was like, how am I going to come up with a serpent totem? And then I looked and I was like, oh, I've been wearing a ring since I was in my mid-20s that has a serpent on it. And there it is, you know? Then I was like, how am I going to do this hummingbird? Where am I going to get a hummingbird? And then about 2 weeks ago, my husband and I were at this store, and I went off to one corner, and then we get in the car and he bought these little wooden hummingbirds. And I'm like, he's my partner. You know, he didn't even know. Like, I haven't
he doesn't
him.
Even know.
And I was like, of course, Mr. Intuition himself. So that is feeding my wild. It's really, I think, helping me in that next stage of this work that I'm going to be doing now, you know, in a much more public way, and just putting on a website so people can get in touch with me. I just think one last thing I want to say is, I don't know if you get to wake up every day and just be like, Nessa, rock. But you should just wake up every day and be like, I'm not the rock. Even on those days where you're like, I'm feeling like I'm getting rocked more than I rock, but I'm going to rock anyway. You know what I mean? It's just wonderful. I mean, you know, that from the podcast to the Feature Wild Gut, Feature Wild Voice, to the WIP program, to just all the other modalities that you're working with, I just want to commend you. It's enlivening, it's inspiring, it's transformative, it's heart-centered, it's heart-filled, it's fun. Like, I feel like we have fun, but it's so grounded as well in science. It has the art and it has the science and it has the spirit. And I just want to commend you on that. I hadn't even said this to you before, but es abundancia, you know, es abundancia, and it's magical. And I am just so grateful. I think what I put into the search engine on the Apple podcast was wild because I was feeling it in that moment during the pandemic. And then your stuff came up and I'm like, I'm so glad I put that in there. You know? It's just been such a blessing to just engage with you, Vanessa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being you and just so generous. So, so generous. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my God. You left me speechless. I think that's the first time. I don't know what to say. Celeste, I'm just going to receive. I'm just going to.
Receive it, girl. Take it
wow.
in.
Oh, hun. A lot of emotions because what you're touching, you know, what you're touching in on is just like, it's not just my story, right? It's all of us. And so many lives that I've been blessed to connect with and like what I have learned through this process. And I feel like you too, Celeste, like you've expressed one story as an example of this, but the humbling comes when you've come face to face with people who are just magnificent human beings who have their story, who are here, who are on their path of healing, who teach you so much. Like I have been so humbled by what I have learned from you, what I have learned from others. So to be in that space of service is also to be in that space of receiving and receiving the teaching. So thank you for that reflection, hermana. And I'm feeling that hummingbird energy that you brought today, okay? Because like, I don't know if y'all are feeling it too. I'm feeling that hummingbird energy. And I'm like, of course you're working with that totem right now. So anyway, thank you to hummingbird and all other totems. Yes. And above all, thank you, Celeste, for just all of it. Like all of it, like you being you, saying yes to your path, to your gifts, to the challenges, to showing up as the seeker, and to the commitment and the discipline that is required to move through in like the highest way, which you so beautifully, eloquently do. And then now your commitment to this next evolution of your work, of how you show up. And just, I am just so excited for what the ripple effects of that and the hearts and the lives that you touch with that. So highly, highly recommend folks check you out. And with that, is there anything that you would like to leave as parting words to our audience? I mean, you already said so much. You don't have to.
Okay. We'll be here for another 30 minutes. You know how like Mexicanos are. Forget it. Yeah. The parting word is, I would say it's like, dale shine, which basically that's like real Tejano Tex-Mex. And it's like, go for it. And yeah, just go for it. Go for it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, dear, 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 dear one. All right, my sister. We are closing out today with a bang. Thank you for coming on. And saludos a todos. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in.